So, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, ninth chapter, answers by citing the Lord's version. I like the title of the chapter because so many versions, you know, in the world, so many ideas, everybody's version, right? But this is the Lord's version. That's kind of the type of discussion that sounds interesting. Ritam yat pratyeta na pratyeta chatmane tahrijatatmano mayam yato vaso yato tamam. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in dark. A very long explanation which cannot read all at once. I'll read a little bit. Purport. In the previous verse, it had already been concluded that in any stage of the cosmic manifestation, its appearance, its sustenance, the growth, the interactions of different energies, its deterioration, and its disappearance, all has its basic relation with the existence of the personality of Godhead. And as such, whenever there's forgetfulness, sublime relation with the Lord, and whenever things are accepted as real without being related to the Lord, that conception is called a product of the illusory energy of the Lord. Because nothing can exist without the Lord. It should be known that the illusory energy is also an energy of the Lord. The right conclusion of dovetailing everything in relationship with the Lord is called yoga maya, or the energy of union, and the wrong conception of detaching a thing from its relationship with the Lord is called the Lord's Daya Maya or Mahamaya. But the Mayas also have connection with the Lord, because nothing can exist without being related to Him. As such, the wrong conception of detaching relationships from the Lord is not false, but illusory. Ritam comes from artam, and artam means value. So it says that one can measure the value of anything, of its relationship with the Supreme Lord. So that is transcendental knowledge. That is where we begin to see with spiritual eyes. It's very simple, actually. The formula is simple. If one can see the relationship with the Supreme Lord, then it's valuable. If it is used for the purpose of the Supreme Lord, then it is the right purpose. If it provides us with more knowledge about the Supreme Lord, then it is the right knowledge. If it is a sacrifice, that is a sacrifice for the Supreme Lord, then it's a useful sacrifice. In this way, we can measure the benefit of anything and everything. And actually what happens then is anxiety disappears. Otherwise, there's always anxiety. So many things to be in anxiety about, so many things going on that don't look very good, but, well, one should simply leave those things of which we cannot see a purpose in the service of the Lord. Whatever has no purpose for the service of the Lord, forget it. It may look good, but in the end it is actually a quite an entrapping thing. The material energy is like that. Initially, it may look very nice, but there is a duality in everything, material. So material things always carry a duality. So it's very good, but with any goodness also comes suffering, and that one is to see. First of all, the enjoyment is temporary. Second of all, you don't just get enjoyment, and you also get suffering along with it. That's the problem of material life. And then, still say, yeah, but the enjoyment is so good. I'll take the suffering. No problem. I don't mind it. I'll tolerate it. I know I'll get suffering also with the enjoyment, but it's very good. Okay, let there be some suffering, but I'll take that enjoyment. Yes, but it's temporary. I don't care. Yes, you say no. But the young boys were laughing at the old lady who was walking almost with her nose on the ground. They were joking and saying, hey, grandma, did you lose something? She said, fools, can't you see that I lost the pearl of my youth? So, time is also running out, and then our power to enjoy is also running out. So therefore, it's okay. Enjoy. No one is saying not to enjoy the material energy. It's natural to enjoy. It's not forbidden. And it's not that we are saying, don't live. Don't breathe, because you might just enjoy the fresh air. So what a problem. Then better not breathe. No, that's not what we're saying. Okay? So we'll enjoy the fresh air, and we may not enjoy the not so fresh air. And we may, enjoy the tasty things. But then at one point, if you enjoy too many tasty things, then you come at the stage where you have to eat the non-tasty things. A diet. Is this lunch? Yes, it is. No more cheese. Anyway. I solved the cholesterol problem. I just stopped measuring it. That's one way of solving it. Okay? What can you do? Right? One day the party's over, Right? So the point is, everyone's trying to have a good time. Well, spiritual life, everything has an eternal dimension, because whatever we do as for Krishna gives us eternal benefits, whatever it is. So, like you do a kirtan, you may like the music part, but at the same time, because we're chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we get eternal benefit. You take the prasadam, it may taste super good, cake, lots of cream, etc. and so on. Yay, but it's offered. So besides the temporary benefit of, it's finished too quick, it's eternal benefit. So spiritual life gives eternal benefit. That's one advantage. So in the beginning, we care about that eternal benefit, but we also care a lot about the temporary material situation we're in. So when we do some service, we say, well, I like this service, I don't like that service. But at one point, material situation becomes less and less important, and the spiritual situation becomes more and more important. And in this way, one advances in spiritual life. Gradually, Krishna and everything in relation to Krishna becomes important and everything else, what does it matter? If it is not so pleasant anyway, it doesn't last very long. And if it's pleasant, okay, it's nice, but it's also temporary. So why make such a big thing about it? I got profit. Wow, profit. And tomorrow you have loss. You know, that's the nature of the material world. Sometimes profit, sometimes loss. Do have. So why get so elated when the profit comes? Why get so depressed when there's a loss? Life goes on. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, someone was talking to me, crisis today, you know, like, in a way the crisis is not so bad because it brings some more reflection about life, you know, where are we going. In some countries, crisis is just a normal way of life, right? And people didn't die. There was a crisis, but they still work, they still survive, they still eat every day. Everything goes on. Somehow or other. So the point is the material energy produces all kinds of things before our eyes, favorable, unfavorable, beautiful, not beautiful, and so on. All these things are temporary. And that's why we cannot give them so much importance. And that's what the Bhagavatam is stating to us. Okay, you know, in the beginning, we begin to philosophically think about an idea like that. And then, when it makes sense, then you begin to adjust your life according to that idea. When you adjust your life according to the idea, then it gains strength, right? Then the idea goes deeper and becomes more reality. So in the beginning, one may hear a verse like that and will think like, okay, nice point. Next? What's next? No, there's nothing next. There is no next. We stay on this point. That's it. You know, this is the point. Now, nothing has value without relation to Krishna. Now we begin to act on it. And as we act on it, then automatically attachment to Krishna will develop, and automatically as attachment to Krishna develops, detachment to material things will develop. And that happens to everyone because it looks, you know, it looks so much effort, you know, for so many material things. And there's a whole society like that. Not like this is a super good tape recorder, but there is a new model. There is a new model. And although this one is good, you know, it can just do a little more. It can, the new model. It has one extra button, very useful. Yeah, after that, you know, you look at your thing, you go, oh my God, there's a new model. Oh no. You can never look at it with the same eyes like before, you know. First you looked at it with love, now look at it up. There is a new model, right? Because this is how it works, right? This is how the whole market is built up. They have to somehow or other make you feel bad about what you have so that you buy a new one, and it goes on and on and on. Yeah, so. But after a while, you just you come to a point where you say, actually, I don't. The old model, it does the job, it does what I need, it's enough. New clothes. But it's, yeah, okay, you know, some clothes, and they all wear clothes to make an appearance, you know. When you start to serve Krishna, then Krishna becomes the center more and more. Right? Whereas before, when you were yourself the center, then clothes are more important, obviously. You know, when you are the center, cool. So many varieties of images, you know, changing identity, existing, intelligent. Different images, you know, like that. Aristocratic. You can try out many different ways to look. But when Krishna becomes more important, then all these things, well, doesn't matter. A little bit, maybe, still matters. But it diminishes until it doesn't matter at all. And only Krishna matters. Then one is a pure devotee of the Lord. So, yes. So really, this movement is... the nice thing about it is that it is speaking of no compromise. You see, it's the no compromise movement, really. At the same time, it accepts anybody from any compromised position. So that means to say that anybody can do some service for Krishna. And even if you are attached to material things, no problem. You can serve Krishna. So that's compromise, basically, but it's okay. But the goal is to come to no compromise. Completely no compromise. Yes, that is... And that is something, where do you get that? You don't get it anywhere in the world. Everything is about a compromise. Everything is settle for what you get. But this is about perfection, no less. It is about strive for perfection. Not that you are judged, you know. Are you up to perfection? Sorry, 3 millimeters short. Up to perfection. Sorry, 3.5 millimeters short. Sorry, you know. And everyone is measured, and then you feel, oh God, I'm a loser. that's not what I mean to say. What I mean to say is, but there is perfection, and it can be achieved. So you don't have to settle for less. You don't have to settle for something that's not perfect. You can get the perfect. It's available. Yeah. Whereas in the, there's this... this machine is good. It's very good, but not perfect. Teasing him. Anyway, so this point that the ideal can be attained, the ideal. Yeah, that's like, you know, stop dreaming. Right? Children, you know, believe in fairy tales, but once you're an adult, it's over, you know, you come to terms with reality, right? And you get the best you can get. See, this is the compromise mentality. Is that okay? You know, ideal doesn't exist. Dream will never be attained. So, but that's not a fact, actually. That's not at all. And that is the thing about Krishna consciousness. It reawakens that hope that had almost died, you know, that had died from you know, when they told you that Santa Claus doesn't exist, God, what a disaster. It's mean, you know. Not fairy tales are not true. Oh, come on, you know. It was hard to accept. And then we came down to the platform of compromise. But no, the ideal does exist. It does. It is attainable. And that is attainable through the relationship with the Supreme Lord. Then we rise above the duality of material existence. Our consciousness rises above, and when the consciousness rises above, then eventually our physical existence will also rise above. Because wherever the consciousness goes, that's where our physical existence will go. Yam yam bhavisman bhavam chatyam parevam tam tamivaita kuntiya sadhan bhavabhavita. It is consciousness that leads us to a certain type of existence. It's because of our consciousness that we are in these bodies. First consciousness, then the bodies. Not first the bodies and then consciousness. So, Krishna's world is the perfect world. We can get entrance into it simply by taking everything and connecting it with Him. And when we cannot, then leave it. And that path is the path of perfection. And that's what we're speaking about. Okay, maybe some questions from your side. Something interactive.
Yeah, I believe it's good. How can we get determination to stick to it?
The idea is good. How can we get the determination to stick to it? There are different types of things that strengthen our motivation. The first is if we've gone through some very strong suffering in life, that certainly will give us a motivation, strong motivation, where we say, okay, I've had enough, type of thing. Okay, it's, I think I've had enough. Of course, may not be true. You may still want a little more further down the road, but it motivates. So that's a negative motivation. No faith in material life. It's like, you know, the whole world was talking about sex. Sex, sex, sex. At first I didn't know what it was. Right? But as I grew up, I finally sort of got the idea what it was. Right? But of course, I hadn't become active in the field as yet. So that was a very frustrating time. Then finally it happens. And then after that I walked in the street and there was a song that played in my mind, an old one that said, "Is that all there is?" Is that all there is? And I said, like, God, you know, the whole world, such a hype, yeah? Such a big thing. I said, well, okay, was all right. Was all right, but not that. Not as incredible as I thought it would have been. Yeah? I was a bit disappointed. Anyway, I tried again. After that, and again, and again, and again. And I can't say that it was always so, such a total frustration. That's not what I'm trying to say. No, but still, it also didn't satisfy me enough to say, okay, this is what drives me. So at one point, I came to a point where I said, like, ultimately, I don't have faith in sex, but that will make me happy. I just don't believe in it anymore. Yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, the world is oversexed. It has made too much of it. It has a place. That was my conclusion. It has a place in life. But the world is oversexed. They did make too much of it. That was my conclusion. So if one loses his faith in these things. Same thing, you know, my father was money. But my father always had a headache. Yeah? Every day of his life, he had a headache. Then he wanted me to become his successor. Well, I don't know. Do I also get a headache? It's every day a big headache. And we had to be as children, we had to be quiet because my father always had a headache. So I had some doubts about becoming his successor. In the end, I didn't do it. So like that, it's a matter of faith. If one loses his faith in so many things, you know, if you lose your faith in King's Cross, the cross, Saturday night, and ain't got nobody, and I feel good about it. And I'm glad that it's Saturday night, and that I ain't got nobody, because I just remember too many Sunday mornings. Losing faith in so many things is important. So that's one level of motivation. That's not enough. That's not enough. One must, to really keep on going, one has to experience positive benefits in Krishna consciousness, tangible. Well, so we can count many blessings. Like, okay, go down there. What's the name of benefit? Why is Krishna consciousness good?
Nice devotee.
What nice devotee?
Krishna Katha. Beautiful pastimes of it.
Lots of sincere friends.
What?
Sincere friends. Devotees.
Jeez, how many reasons? Connection, working, you know, it's just the reciprocation. This is quite deeper meaning to everything.
Makes a lot of sense.
If you don't want to speak,
I get it. I'm so sure. I can do anything. For sure.
Can someone repeat? I cannot hear
properly. I can do something for sure. Yeah.
Huh?
I can do something for sure.
Yeah.
I think the caring for life is pretty good.
Which gives satisfaction in general that we can do.
Nice music.
Friends?
Yeah. That is better.
I think the goal is to go out to work, you know? That's it. That's how I want.
Yeah, so there are many reasons also. We can look at many reasons why we would do so. And I think you have to become conscious at one stage about some of the reasons why you're doing it. You cannot, In the beginning, you can just walk in and say, yeah, I like prasad and so on. Some people can go on forever. They have the power. It's good to have many reasons, because that's your faith. It's your faith that will give you the strength. Yeah? And faith is not just a feeling, you know, faith is coming from reasons. So it's good to think of many reasons. Yeah, I mean, I see people that have lived like this for many years, and they've become quite amazing people, because because they have no ulterior motive. Right? They have no ulterior motive. So they don't try to get anything from you. They don't try to exploit you. Like that, they have. And such people, right, they really have some saintliness. And you know, I know such people. And, they inspire me. Right? Yeah. So that's... that's one reason why I would go on. And then you read these books and the Bhagavatam and so on, but you read it and it gives a whole system, right, of belief. And it makes sense. Yeah. You know, if you approach it, well, how do I know? How do I know it's true? You know? How can I ever know it's true or not? I don't know. How do I know God exists or not? How do I really know? How do I know he's blue? How do you know? Yeah. I mean, have you seen him? Yeah. My God, we can challenge that. And that's sort of the empiric way, you know, where you're trying to collect evidence with like measurable proof. But there's something else. And that is, I'd like to call it indicative logic, right? Which is, well, to give an example of indicative logic, you know, to the left, a beautiful road, nice houses, grass, lawns, etc. To the right, old, crumbled, spooky houses, you know, broken road. Okay, where do you want to go? Left or right? You know, it's like depends who you are. But, but anyway, you make a choice according to your taste and go left or right. But you're not sure because you don't know what's around the bend. Right? You go around the curve, it may change around. Left started out so beautiful, but just around the curve, it turns really bad. Whereas right, it starts a little rough, but behind the curve, it becomes beautiful. So how do you know? You know? So this is, but we make a decision, left or right. You know what I mean? You meet someone, and a lot of fun, and it is so much nice. And then after a while, you know, you just rent a little boat, and you go on the river, and you pull out a ring. So romantic. Will you? Anyway. And all of that. And you say yes, right? And you never know what you got yourself into, you know, because you said yes on indication, it all looked good, you know. I mean, 3 years down the line, if I would have known, 1, 2, 3, you know, you can give 20 different reasons. If I would have known, I would have never gotten into all of this. Yeah. God, you know, little did I know. So, like that. Indicative. We take decisions on indications. We don't live like scientists, investigate, you know. Oh, looks tasty. Oh, wait. We must bring the microscope. We must put it to the
laboratory and analyze it.
Wait, I will take a bite. No, wait. First we have to analyze completely. Yes, yes, full report. Yeah, well, okay, looks very good. Can I have it now? No, you have to first read the whole report. Oh my God. How many pages? 37 pages. By the time we finish the report, the cake has all sort of like become soggy. Doesn't look as good as it looked before. So we take decisions on indication. We choose. When it looks good, go for it. Or sometimes even. But indications. So, okay, Krishna consciousness. It offers a whole system of belief. And let's take it step by step. First step. If there would be a God, then this world would be the creation of God. Huh? Make sense? Logical? Okay. Then you would expect that the creation will say something about the creator. Just like, you know, a car. Huh? Who has made a car? Human beings. Huh? Have you noticed how much a car looks like a human being? A car has two eyes. A car has a nose. A car has an inlet where you put the fuel. A car has a tank. Yeah? A car has an exhaust pipe, just like the human body. Yeah? A car has a nerve system in the form of electric wires. A car has veins in the form of tubes. You know, it's amazing how much a car looks like a human being. The product of the human being. Yeah. So now we look at the creation saying, theoretically, for argument's sake, let's say there's a God. We're looking at the creation. And then we see that in the creation, everywhere, there's personality. Right? No two animals are the same. Every living being is personality. So then it's sort of logical. But there's also personality in God. All right. Now, let's say there is a God, then one would think he's a personality. Then, if he's a personality, would he be like Michelangelo's person? An old man with a beard, you know, and a sour face, ready to point down at the sinner. No wonder, you know, he woke up. Ugh! An old man in pain from his rheumatism, thinking, are there any sinners down there? Why would he be old? You want to be old? Who wants to be old? Huh? See? So if I was God, I would look a little younger. I would, you know. Throw this thing. They may be intellectual, but still I throw them away, you know. Why not? So, here's Krishna, 125 years old, battle of Kurukshetra. Arjuna's on the chariot.
And there comes Krishna. Wait, Arjuna, I'm so fast.
But Krishna's still young, at 125 years old. He's fresh, ever fresh. He's not turning old. Yeah, if I was God, I would not become old. If I was all powerful, I would stay young. Yes. So in this way, if we gradually observe Krishna, then we see that in Krishna there are all the qualities. Yeah? And And I'm just giving a few, you know, I mean, you can do a law lecture on qualities of Krishna, which is another lecture, not this one. But you get the idea. And in the end, you get a whole package. I say, like, well, you know, if there was a God, I guess he would be like Krishna. Really, like, it seems that Krishna has all the divine qualities. If you really look at, like, what are divine qualities, then you see them in Krishna. Not only external beauty, but internal beauty, noble qualities. If there's a God, he must be noble, not a cruel God, a noble God. So Krishna shows all these qualities. So that, in that way, the more we find out about Krishna, he makes sense. In the end, you say, well, for argument's sake, I accept there is a God. Of course, I don't know if there is one or not. Right? But just for argument's sake, then you investigate all about Krishna, and in the end, you have a whole picture there. And, you know, it's like, well, okay, I guess I'll accept that it's a God. And that is Krishna. It's like that. It's in that way we accept. On indicative knowledge. Because the whole system makes sense. In that way, we actually become convinced. And the more we are convinced about Krishna, and the less we are convinced about material things, the more strong we will be in our motivation. And that's a long answer to a short question. This is a short version.
Well, you were talking about losing faith when you try out some material things and after a while you lose faith. But isn't it that's also a very high stage when you start losing the faith? Otherwise,
you keep it. No, I think so. Everybody goes through frustration in life. And everybody, the whole world is like that. So many things. Yes, we would still like to be material and happy and this stuff, but there's a lot of people who think, yeah, but there are many things that I don't believe in, and I just feel like locked into. It's not just a handful of people, many people. It's just, what's the alternative? So many people don't see an alternative. But this is an alternative. And it's not bad because there's a soul. And it's not bad because you're good.
Yeah, I was just wondering when you were reading the verse, it was talking about everything that is connected to Krishna is valuable. Of course, then a philosophical mind might go, well, you know, telling me all the time that Krishna is in everything and connected to everything.
Everything is connected to Krishna, so everything is valuable.
So what are we talking about in that sense in terms of connection?
Then everything is that's right. But, you know, everything has its origin in Krishna, and one who sees that, sees correct. Then everything is taken and is offered back to Krishna by us. That's the one point this verse is talking about. So it's to see that everything has its origin in Krishna, that's A. And B then, is to take whatever you can and offer it to Krishna. Then it's complete. And if you don't see a way to offer it to Krishna, there are certain rules for offering to Krishna. He gives. He says a fruit, a flower, a leaf, some wood. And I always say, if you want to offer a bottle of whiskey to Krishna, you can. But not for the inside, it's for the outside. Alcohol is okay. Nothing wrong with alcohol. On the outside, but not on the inside. So you can use this disinfectant.
country.
Many, I've seen many cowboy movies where they're using whiskey.
It's disinfecting.
Never seen? I've seen. So it's like that. So it's two parts, seeing everything in connection with Krishna, be then using everything for Krishna. That's the meaning of the word. Yeah, the mosquitoes are something interesting, isn't it? They cut me in my neck or my head.
How do you work with, like, fears?
With fears,
yeah, how do you change them?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, when you're kind of in the fear, it's really difficult to see Krishna. It's difficult to,
okay,
like, remembering.
Yeah, I mean, fears are negative emotions that come from previous experience, and some fear is, there's undue fear, you know, fear that comes from overreacting or reacting due to something we went through in the past, and we projected on a situation, and then there is healthy fear. Like when they start, when someone starts to drive over 140 kilometers, I start sweating. Generally speaking, you know, I generally start sweating, and I generally don't feel so comfortable anymore. Of course, when I'm driving myself, then a little better. Although it's illusion, that, you know, when someone gets over 140, you start looking at the clock, you know, I thought, okay, how fast are we going now, 160. I can read a book in the car up to 140, and after 140, I can't read anymore. I sit in the book. Yeah, so what to do? But I think that's a healthy fear. Yeah, so, okay, just to make that distinction. So fear is also positive. So it's undue fear. I guess we get over that in association with others. First of all, we must be with people we can trust, and then, okay, then we share, you know, then we can share it. And once you can share it, then it also becomes more relative to others' experience. They say, well, okay, I have this fear, that, you know, they have this fear, you know, maybe it's too much. It's like my former wife, you know, I was married before for a long time. And then my former wife, she had the planes, you know, like to a point that it was just, I mean, you know, she just sit in the plane, and you're, are you okay? No movement, nothing, no. She wouldn't say anything. She would just sit and not move, and just be quiet, right? Yeah? So I try a different thing. This is the body. Once on, because she never flew until she was a devotee. Once on prasadam, no answer. I mean, the cake is quite nice, but it tastes no answer. So it was really bad. It was a bad case of flying fever. And then, yeah, anyway, but I got it to fly, and
Then we were once in Nepal, and there they have this very beautiful deity of Lord Vishnudev. And we used to go there, we used to just go on Harinam, we were in the temple there for a while, and we used to go on Harinam to that deity. We always stopped there. So, and then one time, we were flying back from there to Europe, and again, it was the usual, you know. So I tried to distract her, and I sort of brought out the magazine, the airline magazine, and just showed the pictures, you know. So, maybe read a magazine, you know. and then the Srinivasa was in there, right? From Nepal. And she goes, wow! After all these years, she spoke, you know. She said, wow. And then, you know, just, that's amazing. The Srinivasa, how is it possible? How can you be here? And then Srinivasa came, and that was it. And she was never afraid again to fly. That sort of did it. You know? I never thought that would, but it worked. Anyway, so in relationship with others, you know, we can come to a breakthrough. And devotional service takes away all our fears, ultimately. And yeah. I guess the fact that Nrsimhadeva appeared in that magazine gave her the conviction Krishna is in control. He's really in control here. He shows it by appearing here in this magazine, you know, and Krishna's in control. And that brought her to the point, Krishna's in control, and she was not afraid anymore. Yeah. Because fear is just anything, you know, it's like, it's out of control, out of my control.